straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 112, brought to you by Hook'em.com and our friends at Bud Light. I'm Cedric Golden, joined by my boy, the Duck, Kirk Bowles. Big podcast today, Texas v.
Royalty.
K-State. The Horns are going in with three straight wins. We're gonna break that down with a very special guest, Rod Babers, the host of the Rodcast on 104.9. The Horns going to join us here shortly. First, Duck, you feeling good about this game?
Yeah, I am. I really am. We always talk about trap games and K-State's not very good. And, you know, at least they're losing to good people. You know, they lost to Mississippi
State.
Yeah,
but they're losing big to good people.
They haven't been competitive.
Yeah,
they are. But they're not losing to Arkansas or, you know, somebody like that. They're losing to West Virginia, top 10. Mississippi State, which was 14 before they lost to Kentucky. So, but they're scrambling. They're trying to find an identity. You know, they're not good on either side of the ball. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure Bill Snyder has this game circled because, like, hey, if we're going to make anything of our season, it's got to start Saturday.
It has to start Saturday at the Little Apple. I think he's going to start Alex Delton over Skylar Thompson at quarterback. Because he was infuriated. They went for it on fourth and less than a yard.
And what did he say?
And he said, I can't coach a team that can't get 6 inches.
Right.
I mean, that's a frustrated Hall of Fame coach.
That's frustrating.
Who's looking to shake things up. Apparently, he's making these unilateral decisions and not telling his assistant coaches. Bill Snyder's had it, and he's looking to make things happen. And if it means ruffling some feathers, we both been around Coach Snyder. He don't mind ruffling a few feathers.
And I'm stunned that they've played like this because, I mean, you know, even Baylor's sitting there 3-1. Kansas has won a couple games.
Hey,
you would have to say K-State's been the disappointment of the league so far, far.
I thought Iowa State would be a little bit better.
Well, maybe
a little bit.
I did. But, hey, they were playing teams close. They played Oklahoma close.
They lost 37-27.
K-State just hasn't really shown up yet.
They don't have an offensive identity. They're not like – even when they were good.
They're not even running the ball
that
great.
They had Colin Klein at quarterback, and he was a bulldozer who could get you 5 or 6 yards, and he was a tank. And then they would surprise you because he could throw it a little bit. They haven't shown anything. And if I'm Texas, I'm very worried about this game because I expect, but I'm a sports columnist, I expect them to go in there and beat K-State by double digits, but I also expected them to go in and beat Maryland by double digits. And we know that Bill Snyder is a better coach than that interim guy at Maryland, but that interim guy at Maryland just beat Texas.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Matt Canada got it done. He got run out of LSU and then shows up in Maryland 8 months later. He's coaching them to win over Texas, so it's about getting it done. And like you say, Bill Snyder, they're looking for an identity. They've got two rushing touchdowns all year.
That's K-State.
Two. That's usually in a quarter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they just, you know, have been really bad. And like you say, Bill Snyder's teams always play with a lot of pride. And I expect to see that kind of K-State team on Saturday.
Well, the Longhorns haven't won there. They've lost five straight games at Bill Snyder Family Stadium.
They won once, I think, in Manhattan.
And they've won once in Manhattan. And the last time they won in Manhattan was 2002, 17-14.
When Caden Stearns was 2 years old. Tom Herman said.
That's pretty good.
I bet he was hitting people even then.
I bet even then he was making plays in the crib.
He was probably making plays.
But I bring that up because one of the players from that 2002 team is about to join us on the phone. His name is Rod Babers. Here is the guy I like to call Rod B on Second Thought. Joining us via phone on the Dungeon Hotline, Longhorn Greatness. He is one on the short list of best corners to ever play at Texas.
Absolutely.
Guys like Quandre Diggs still look up to him. He is the host of the Rodcast on 104.9 The Horn, the irrepressible Roderick Babers joining us. What's up, Rod B?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I appreciate y'all letting me be on the podcast with you, man. I'm a big fan, as always, so anything I could do for you guys, anytime.
Well, we just appreciate you dropping some knowledge in on us, and Longhorns off to a 3-1 start. What do you make of that?
What's going on with that?
Oh, man. Now I keep thinking about that Maryland game. This is how you know we're spoiled as a fan base.
That's true.
That's a 3-game winning streak. Sam Ehlinger has got one of the best starts to a season that any Texas quarterback, I don't say, has ever had. I want to say the stat is that there's only been 4 quarterbacks now that have started this season to throw for at least 200 yards in the first 4 games, and that list is Major Applewhite, Colt McCoy, he did it twice, I believe, Peter Gardier, Peter the Great, and now Sam Ehlinger on that list. So, we should be appreciating it, but now I'm just thinking about what the ceiling could have been for this team if they come out and take care of business against Maryland. And that kind of brings me full circle to the K-State game, guys. That's why, I'm not celebrating too much. I'm still paranoid about this team a little bit because I've seen the way they handle success. And they didn't handle it well. And I'll go ahead, and everybody says now K-State's in disarray, right? Because, Bill Snyder is making decisions without consulting his team, and he's going AWOL, and he's going rogue there with K-State, something he hadn't done, at least that I can remember in my short while here covering Texas sports and covering the Big 12. But, last 2 teams we played, they were in disarray, Maryland. When they suspended their coach and had an interim coach who didn't even know all the guys' names, and Maryland beat us, and Texas was a team that was better than Maryland at the time, and we all agree with that. And Texas Tech, I remember going back to last year, Cliff Kingsbury was going to be fired here. I wanted Texas to hire Cliff Kingsbury as their new OC.
So did Kirk.
Texas beat them, and they fired him, but that wasn't the case. They galvanized, they rallied, and they were able to beat Texas. They were a program in disarray. So, as Chris Rock used to say, slow down.
Slow down. It's funny. I was
just a little bit because I want to get really, really high on this team, and I think we've seen them turn the corner. That TCU win was big, guys, for a lot of different reasons that we'll talk about. But I want this team to make sure that they show maturity and take care of business. If you're better than this team, then go out and beat this team. That'll show leadership. That'll show maturity on their part, because the last couple of times they've been in this situation, everybody high on them, patting them on the back, too much sugar on their back, as Mac Brown used to say. We've seen this team come out and ultimately underperform.
Can't eat the poison cheese, as we all know. And Sid, I was feeling really good. Now Rod brought me down a little bit. All these teams in disarray.
I'm sorry, guys. I drank that Kool-Aid. Remember, before that Maryland game, I think I said I had Texas at 9 wins.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Wins, I was listening.
Yeah, and I drank that Kool-Aid, and I pumped that Kool-Aid of that sunshine to my listeners, and then I had to eat that crow after the game. And I got no problem with eating crow because I do it all the time, but I had to do the adult thing and put my finger down my throat and vomit up all that Kool-Aid. And I'm not making that mistake again. And once you get to a certain age, it ain't cool to have to worship the porcelain god. So I'm not going to do it. I'm not falling for it again, guys. They got to show me on a more consistent basis.
We were talking about it after the game against TCU, and we're on our post game podcast, and I go, man, I know it's a family show, but I'm gonna say the P word, and everybody cringe, and I go, prosperity. How are they gonna deal with a little bit of prosperity? There's some other P words that I like working, so I'm not gonna say those.
I'm
other
glad
ones,
you use prosperity,
but I'm gonna tell you, man. I asked Tom about it. I go, y'all had a little bit of prosperity. And he goes, well, we're just talking about 3 wins. I go, you damn right we talked about 3 wins. Quit looking down your nose at 3 straight wins.
So Tom had
what
we've
been going through
down.
The last 5 years since Mac left. 3 wins.
That's a good point, too. It's this weird mix, right, guys? Because you want the guys to enjoy it.
Sure.
This is a different breed, because remember after that Tulsa game, Tom Herman admits they were up 21-0. I got on the guys because I wanted to get more out of them.
Right.
And then the team folded up a little bit.
They did.
A little uptight.
Get a little uptight.
No old Tulsa to get mad at us.
Exactly. So, I'm with you. I would have responded, to that in a different way, I think, when I played. But I think Tom Herman psychologically is learning how to coach this team. Keep it, keep this in mind about Tom Herman. He's used to coaching as an underdog. Mm-hmm. And that's if you look at his best performances, they've been when he's been able to use that underdog card. You know, go back and look at, I want to say in his last 23 times where Tom Herman has been the underdog, that they've covered 22 out of the 23 times.
That's pretty
and
good.
And he's won, I think, he's actually won 13 out of the last 17 times where he's been an underdog. The problem is that Texas, you're not going to be David all the time. You're going to be Goliath.
They better be.
You're going to be Goliath. K-State's David. K-State's the underdog. They played that card. TCU's the underdog. They played that card. Texas, you can't play that card. Once Texas gets back to being a big dog, you want to learn how to go out there and beat the team you're supposed to beat consistently. That's going to be the test for Tom Herman versus K-State.
And you know what? You said K-State's David. I don't know. With the way things have looked against West Virginia, they played like Bathsheba. I mean, they looked they didn't look good at all.
Oh,
35-6. I mean, yeah, I read the Bible. Yeah, I read it. David wanted that little.
I haven't heard that one in a while.
Yeah, David had that one of that little morsels, so he put Bathsheba's husband on the front line. He got Uriah. He got killed. David got the woman. David wasn't perfect, but that was a player move. I don't mind that.
I like Chris Nelson on the front line. I like Chris Nelson on the front line. I tell you what. You know, okay, well, let's go dive right into K-State. 0-2 the last time they won up there. What did they lost?
Five in a row, 0-2, 17-14. Rod Babers was on the field that day.
He was there. What do you remember about 0-2 that game? Do you remember anything? I know, you know, Dusty Mangum hit the winning field goal. What else do you remember about that game, Rod?
I do remember B.J. Johnson had a hell of a game. I believe he was the only offensive threat that we had in that game. Strangely enough, Cedric Benson, I don't think he even averaged over 3 yards a carry.
Wow.
Sims didn't have a great game because they were a bit of a defensive juggernaut. It was a defensive struggle. Thank God we had Corey Redding and Derek Johnson and Nathan Basher and guys like that on that team,
mm-hmm.
and Marcus Tubbs, because we were able to win a defensive struggle up there. But yeah, I remember it was an ugly win, man. That's how, you know, K-State, man. Bill Snyder, that's what his football is all about. He wants to muck it up until you get up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, he wants to make it ugly. And he ultimately wants to pull out a win in an ugly way. I want to say, in like, 2011, they beat Texas with, like, less than 150 yards of total offense. You know, they win it with hidden yardage and special teams play. And I think that's how they're going to have to win it. Texas has to learn how to win an ugly game. Oklahoma just won an ugly game versus Army. You know, you got to learn how to win ugly, man. It ain't always going to be pretty. It ain't always going to look like Texas versus USC or TCU. You know, that was more of a track meet. This game's going to be about physicality. So, yeah, I do remember. I also remember, I got the tip on it, all right? I got the tip of my finger on that ball at the end. My man Marcus Tubbs, he blocked it. But I did get a tip on it. Go watch the video.
Oh, the field goal.
I get a tip of my finger, man, a tip of my longest digit on that football at the end. I just throw it out there. People say, oh, Rod B, you would have remembered if you guys. Like, no, I did. I just didn't want to take credit for it because, hey, man, it's a win. And Tubbs, I think he gets the block. But Rod B got a tip on it. Go watch the field.
Hey, did Marcus give you any love, though?
Marcus gave me some love. I think at the end we decided, hey, we both got hands on it, but Marcus got the beat. He got the palm on it. I got just a tip. And, you know, sometimes you don't get credit for just a tip.
That's true. Hey, I just found out Marcus Tubbs is my cousin, so I'm going to ask him. Right? We got people. Hey, 2 weeks ago, I had 3 weeks ago, I had a little thing with my family and Tyler on my dad's side. My dad's side of the family is not close, so we had buried like 2 relatives in a month, so it turns out that my first cousin and Marcus Tubb have the same dad. And so,
wow.
Yeah.
Small world.
I hadn't talked to her in 20 years, and I find that out. So next time I'm in Houston, I got to look up Marcus and get that loan. I like it.
But like Rodman said, the defense, you know, owned the day.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Day in Manhattan, and the defense looks pretty damn ravenous here. I love these DBs, and I know you have to too, Rod B.
Yeah, I said before the season I thought the defensive backfield was going to lead this defense, and they're not as seasoned as they were last year, obviously with Deshaun Elliott and Hode Hill, but they're just as talented guys. It's just inexperienced talent. I think we're seeing that now with Caden Stearns, the wolf of DK.
Bring it. You know,
that's the old sports buff stuff.
Pretty soon, but yeah, I mean, he, that guy, by the way, and I compare him to Earl Thomas. Honestly, he's different than Earl physically.
A little bigger.
That wise. I just think his instincts and range compared to Earl, but he's got Michael Huff type ability and versatility. I even said they could put him at nickel, and I think he would be involved in more action and probably make more plays, but you just got to have that guy on the field. And, you know, BJ Foster is another guy I think he's going to start seeing more and more of in Big 12 play when you start seeing these spread offense, and he can play that lightning package and play dime. But should be really excited about that. Brandon Jones, the dude, as you know, Todd Orlando has called him, he's the dude on defense, and he's showing that too. So I think Todd Orlando's got a really good mix. And I'll give you a great stat about Todd Orlando that got some of it from John Bianco and some of it from L.A. Chin, that when Texas turns the ball over, and in Tom Herman's tenure here at Texas, the Texas offense has had 23 turnovers they've committed. They've committed 23 turnovers. Opponents have only scored 24 points off those 23 turnovers.
That's excellent.
In 2 years.
Wow.
That's absurd.
That is.
Of sudden change defense. Todd Orlando is a master of sudden change defense. Something about, you know, when, you know, we've seen this. He's really good in desperate crisis situations, right? Our Texas goal line defense has always been really good under Todd Orlando. A third down defense, fourth down defense. The stat I gave you about the sudden change defense. So what I really like about, you know, this matchup is that defense travels, and this Texas defense, it seems to be getting better and better. I don't know what the hell Maryland's got on Todd Orlando. I don't know what they're doing up there, man.
They need to market it.
Nobody else has been able to figure Todd Orlando out, but somehow the guys at Maryland do. So as long as Texas don't play Maryland, I'm pretty confident in that Texas D.
Well, before we leave the DBs, because I know you know DBs, who's got the better long-term upside, Chris Boyd or Caden Stearns?
Oh, Caden Stearns.
Yeah, Stearns.
No
is
question about
yes,
it. Yeah,
yes.
You know, it's kind of reminds me of, I'm trying to think of a comparison of that type of an upside. It would be different between the upside of a guy like Earl Thomas, who we all know is probably the best safety in the league right now.
Right.
And the upside, I'm trying to think of Aaron Williams.
And Aaron Williams is really good.
Exactly. So it's no insult to Chris Boyd, but we're
not
talking about Caden Stearns, whose ceiling could be, you know, Earl Thomas-esque ceiling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mount Rushmore DBU type of
thing. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm going to tell y'all, I got a little story about Rob Babers. Rob Babers was a sideline reporter for Texas football. For how long, Rob B?
About 2 years. I may have made it 2 years, yeah.
So about 2 years. And Rob B was serving two audiences. He was a sideline reporter on 1300 The Zone, back when The Zone was running things. And he was also on the radio, though, Sports Buffet, that we started together. So Rod stepped down from his sideline reporting because external forces were trying to push him to Cowtown to the Texas.
Wait a minute. External forces.
I'm not calling out any names because I'm not trying to put Rob Babers' business in the streets, Mac Brown. But anyway.
I think you just
so
did.
So external forces were pushing him to be more of a company man. He had a growing audience then, much bigger, which has gone exponential. One on 104.9.
Do you have a question there for
no,
our guest?
No, I'm just putting this out there. Shut up. I told you then, and I just want to tell you on the podcast, I admire you for standing up for your convictions because you aren't going to let the brand keep you from giving honest opinions to your radio audience, and that's called being a pro. And I just want people to know that's what happened because you could easily still be doing it. You're obviously an excellent, you know, the game backwards and forward. I've learned so much from you just being around you, but you could easily be doing that. I just want people to know how great I thought that was.
You know what that is. You know what that is.
Hey, guys, I really appreciate you, and I know you guys got to become the bad guy. Coach, you know all about that. You got to become the villain at times.
Hell yeah.
But, you know, for the integrity of your field and what you do. So, man, I really appreciate it. Me and Mac have squashed it, by the way, if anybody wants to know. Me and Mac, cool. I went to see him before the season started because he's been inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. Hugged it out, squashed it, laughed about a lot of stuff, had some, you know, good conversations. He was actually upset that Chris Sims wasn't there because it was me, Shanahan, Bo Skies, Montrell Flowers, the Wood was there.
A.K.A. the Wood.
Sims. who still hasn't been back, by the way, since he left.
Is he coming back?
Yeah, I mean, so me and Mac are cool now, and I'm glad that now we got over that petty stuff, because our relationship was bigger than that professional disagreement that we had.
I love it.
Have you had Chris Sims on your show?
I have not, man. I have not had Chris. You know, I told Chris that I wouldn't bother him like that. Me and the guys have a bit of a pact, Shano, and I'm going to see Shano actually next month, October 20th, for that Rams game with 49ers.
Nice. Nice.
And I told him, man, I won't bother y'all. And when I do ask for y'all to come on the show, know that it's for real, because other than that, I won't bother you. But Sims is doing his thing, man. He's doing a real good job. I love that he's opinionated as ever. And sometimes I think it's kind of his act. I think he's got a poor little Clay Travis thing going. But he's doing a good job, man. He's doing a real good job. I tell him all the time, keep up the good work, for sure.
Well, Kyle Shanahan just took a bitter pill.
I'm going to tell you.
You know,
I've never, Rod, thought about this. I might need to do a column on the Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys, both Scaife is a motivational speaker.
Right.
And he's doing big things. Sims is doing big.
He wants to be like a business entrepreneur.
Yes.
And, yeah, of course, Shanahan will win the Super Bowl one day, and you're right. I got to ask him. I meant to text him and ask him if he was thinking about bringing in Colin Kaepernick, because now with Jimmy Garoppolo out, they got to do something, because I ain't going there to watch C.J. Beathard.
You might be.
Hey, they worked out Tom Savage. It's going to be all right, Robbie. It's going to be okay.
Oh, that's even worse.
Hey, could Brock Osweiler be far behind?
Oh, yeah. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen a quarterback that's less savage than Tom Savage?
Oh, gosh.
He is the most non-savage savage I've ever been around.
Is Osweiler still in the league?
Yeah.
Brock Osweiler was pretty. The Brockopalypse, man, he was bad. the fact that Colin Kaepernick watching that, that's probably what brought – I always say this, what brought Vince Young out of retirement, he watched Brock Osweiler play a season of football for the Texans.
You know what?
I'm going to give it a try.
I don't blame him.
Much worse than that.
Yeah, exactly. Get back to the Longhorns for a second. I hesitate to even ask this because, you know, it's the old P word that Cedric was talking and writing about, but – Can Texas run the table? Can they really compete for the Big 12 championship? Do they have enough elements in place, you think, Rod B?
I think with the Big 12 being as open as it is, I do. I mean, look at it right now. Texas Tech's playing really good football. We don't know what's going to happen with Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. I want to say since the Big 12's inception, the last 22 years, there have only been three first-year starting quarterbacks to lead their teams to Big 12 titles. It was 2006, it was Paul Thompson. 2007, I think it was Sam Bradford and Bryce Petty did it in 2013 with Baylor. You got a lot of these first-year starting quarterbacks, inexperienced quarterbacks in the Big 12. I think ultimately that could lead to a wide-open year. So, yeah, Texas does have a shot. I mean, you beat TCU. A lot of people were picking them in the Big 12 to be, you know, one of the teams that competed for the Big 12 title. I think ultimately it comes down to Oklahoma and West Virginia. They got the two best quarterback situations, arguably, in the Big 12. Sam Ehlinger could get in that conversation if he keeps up this consistent play. But I think those are the teams you probably see in the Big 12 title game. That's why I have picked. But I think it's because it's a quarterback conference, and Will Greer is considered to be the best quarterback in the conference, and obviously Kyler Murray not far behind.
You know what, Ron? And they get West Virginia here, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, you get them here at the house.
Yeah, we know Todd Orlando. He likes, the traditional pocket passing pro-style quarterbacks.
Yeah, he can get after them.
Against those guys.
Well, Ron, man, I got to say, this was just a tremendous pleasure. This was a great conversation.
This was fun.
Oh, yeah. And the next time that you want me and Kirk in the studio to do the show, we want to be in there with
you.
That
would be fun.
Because I just love the conversations, brother. We can't appreciate it more than we do right now.
I don't know, man. It was always fun. And I miss doing radio with you, Seti Bear. I really do, brother. So, yeah, we'll get it going again, man. You guys will be my go-to anytime I'm out, or just to have you guys in so we can have a little gangster party up in there.
I love it.
I'm an OG like y'all, too.
You do a great job on the radio. We just love it. You dropped in on us. Appreciate it a lot, Rod.
He is the host of the Rodcast. Give us the time.
So 1-3. 1-3 weekdays on 104.9 The Horn.
All right, Robbie. We appreciate it, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks, Kirk.
Thanks, buddy. Later, bye-bye.
Later. Duck, why did we wait 112 episodes to get Rob Babers?
Probably because we didn't figure he'd give us the time of the day.
That's
lowly
my old,
as we are.
That's my old road dog, though.
I know, because he knows you. I really didn't think he'd come on.
We should have had him. Yeah, quit
that
taking shots.
That was fun.
That was fun. He's very prepared.
Yeah, we got to get him back.
And he's the type of guy who – calls him like he sees him.
He's real.
You can tell. Didn't he sound kind of like a coach breaking down these tendencies? Mm-hmm. And I could see him being a front office guy. He's very bright. He's very driven. He's still young. He's like 35.
Yeah, great personality.
Years old. Yes, he's just a he's a wonderful football mind, and he's a personality. And we will get him back on again,
we're lucky
guys.
To have him.
We promise. So let's on Monday, Shaka Smart. We saw Shaka, a very laid back, happy Shaka, in preseason mode. They're practicing over there, and
well, he wasn't always happy.
He wasn't. Well, he was.
He didn't like some of my questions.
Well, what didn't he like?
How hot is your seat?
He didn't like how hot is your seat. Did his boss like that question?
He didn't like it even less. Liked it less than Shaka Smart.
Well, let me ask you this, because you are the genius behind the Kirk Bowles, because you're the name.
I'm like Rod B, the villain.
You're like the villain. Why is it bad that you ask about the hot seat when Shaka Smart is 50-50 in his first 100 games at Texas and he makes $3.1 million a year?
I don't think it's bad, and that's why I asked the question. And, you know, Chris Del Conte got on me about asking that question. But as I reminded Chris Del Conte, I don't work for Texas, okay?
You don't?
I do not. And I'd be making a lot more money if I did. But, you know, we are representatives of the fans in a lot of respects.
We ask the questions
that
they can ask. We ask
the questions they can ask, yeah. Absolutely. And we raise some of the issues and concerns that they have. And everybody I've run into, I'm not saying they're surprised Shaka's still here, but it's like they're wondering, when's he going to get this done? He's been here 3 years. As you said, his record's 50-50.
He hasn't won a tournament game.
He has not won one tournament game, and he's replacing Rick Barnes, who won 402 games, went to a Final Four, a couple of Elite Eights, and went to a whole bunch of Sweet 16s. So, you know, that's the standard. And Shaka, as much as we like him, and we do like him, hasn't come close to that standard.
I know. And I think, and I haven't written it yet, but we've talked about it. I think that this is a make or break season.
I do too.
For Shaka.
That's what I wrote.
I don't know that Chris Del Conte agrees with that, but here's a question I have for you. Do you think that Tom Herman would still be the head coach at Texas if he were a 500 coach? After three seasons.
I do not either. And I think he should not be. I mean, if you're going to let Charlie Strong go after 3 years when he went 16-21, three losing seasons, they got to hold Tom Herman's feet to the fire by that same standard.
Especially if Tom Herman's getting millions of dollars to rebuild, to redo facilities and lockers and bring in the coordinators. He paid Todd Orlando $1 million to run his defense, stuff like that. When you're opening up the checkbook and giving him a lot more advantages, because I know that Charlie Strong wanted to make some moves and was not allowed to make certain moves.
Like the OC.
Like the OC, for instance. I heard Lane Kiffin.
Or Chad Morris.
Or Chad Morris. Which
and
would've.
Steve Patterson.
And Steve Patterson said no.
That's enough.
He said that's enough. So, right. And then they hire Tom, and then Tom gets the carte blanche. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that his feet need to be held to the same fire. A hotter fire than Charlie's.
I do too. As does Shaka.
So I hope that Shaka gets it done. I like to see the program evolve. The bottom line is you had two lottery picks and you don't have a whole lot to show for it in these last couple of seasons. Jared Allen playing really well. And so I just want to know if this is going to be the year. But if Chris Del Conte does, if Shaka has another so-so year and doesn't win a tournament game,
right,
and Chris Del Conte thinks it's all good, then we got to take a look at Chris Del Conte and ask, are you being an AD or a fanboy? I think that's fair.
I think part of it is the fact, and I told Chris Del Conte this, is that you've been here 9 months. You know, fans have been here 100 years, and I feel like I've been here 100 years.
You just look like it.
You don't sense the frustration if you've been here 9 months and like, hey, I just got here. You know, the fans are operating from a different viewpoint because they've been here for those 3 years at Shaka, and they've been frustrated. I mean, they finished like 2 years ago. They were dead last. They were 10th. They won 11 games. And like you said, he doesn't have a lottery pick. And I think in a lot of respects, Shaka feels energized by that because as he's told us on Monday – our four best players are not freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before with Mo Bamba and Jared Allen, you know, he couldn't say that. So I think it's a little bit more in the mold of his VCU teams. I think they're going to press a little more. I think they're going to run a lot more. They're faster than they've been. And they do have some defined roles, but they got five newcomers here on the roster. And I think Shaka's a little energized by some of the new talent, the energy, none of the egos. And I'm not saying Jarrett or Mo had egos, but and it's harder for big men to just come in and just set the world on fire, as it is, unlike maybe a guard, point guard, or shooting guard.
But
ultimately, it's going to come down, can they shoot?
Can they make shots?
That's going to be, that was my first question to Shaka on Monday. And
that was also your first question to Shaka when you met him.
Every year. So it's like, can you put it in the bucket? Okay. And we hope he does.
It's a make or miss business. And I'm going to say this one thing, and I like Chris Del Conte. I get a big kick out of him. I think he's energized this athletic department.
Absolutely.
I think the future at Texas is bright because of him. But if you can answer tweets from people who are wondering why the porta potties aren't open, then you can also be made to answer questions about why your $3 million coach hasn't gotten it done yet.
Right.
I think that's fair.
Is he the AD or the plumber?
He's both. He's okay. A walking suggestion box.
Yeah.
And the box is bottomless.
Exactly.
So, you know, moving on, that's going to be interesting. I can't wait for Hoops. Speaking of other coaches, Jason Garrett's had way more than 3 years in Dallas, dog.
Wow, how's he done? Not so good.
I wonder if Jerry Jones, I wonder if Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones are on the same page when it comes to Jason Garrett. Because Jerry Jones, I believe, may be the reason that Jason still has a job. I don't know. I know there's a familial atmosphere around the Dallas Cowboys, but guess what? They're not winning. And that Seattle performance was abominable.
Pathetic.
This is not a good Seattle team. Earl Thomas is still, just like Rod B said, he's still the best safety in the league.
All right.
But there is no more Legion of Boom. Richard Sherman's gone.
Cam
Chancellor's gone. Those guys no longer reside there. But they still got worked by the Seattle Seahawks. And I don't know that they win seven games. This might be a 5-11 team.
Well,
Doug,
I mean, didn't we both pick them to go 8-8?
I think so.
So we weren't impressed going into the season.
No.
But Dak Prescott, you know, I'm on record as saying I think he's in the bottom third of the league. I just don't see it. And then when you put receiving core on the field to go with that.
They don't have a receiving core.
It's terrible. They don't have a number one guy or number two guy. I mean, Cole Beasley, is he your best threat? A slot guy who gets you 8 yards?
There's not you, and Tavon Austin has always just been. He's not Tavon Austin from West Virginia who just terrorized the cornerbacks in the Big 12.
Right.
No, he's just a gadget guy. End arounds, jet sweeps, an occasional deep route. He's not a receiver you can build around. Allen Hurns,
right?
Decent, but he's not a receiver one. I know this isn't fantasy league football. But if you're playing a guy that's got Tavon Austin, Cole Beasley, and Allen Hurns in their lineup, are you afraid that they're going to beat you in fantasy league? I don't think so. Dez Bryant had lost a couple of steps, but Dez Bryant is I still think Dez Bryant is probably better than Hurns or Tavon. I mean, I know he's not fast anymore, but there was a familiarity with Dak Prescott. They didn't get enough.
So they
in free agency on these receivers.
They don't have enough playmakers. They really don't. You get past Zeke Elliott, and where's the wideout threat? Where's the tight end threat? I mean, they almost got to go 80 yards in 12 plays if they're going to score a touchdown. They cut Dan Bailey, and Brett Maher's their kicker. He's decent, but is he going to make the big kick? And, you know, they're playing in a division. I know, you know, they scuffed up the Giants at home, and the Giants went down to Houston and thumped the Texans, and Philadelphia defending Super Bowl champions. Redskins just stunned Green Bay. So, you know, it's a salty division.
Do you think the Dallas Cowboys are the worst team in NFC East, even though they beat the Giants?
So, you know, but I would say they are the worst because this. You got weapons. You got Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley. You got weapons there.
Mm-hmm.
And Dallas just doesn't have weapons. Their defense is pretty good. I don't think secondary is great. But, you know, Sean Lee's hurt again like he always is. Jalen Smith is playing well.
Jeff Heath is hurt now, the safety.
I know. So I'm not sure what the upside is. I think 8-8 is something they aspire to now, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he does something with Linehan, or, you know, maybe Jason starts calling the plays or something. But, you know, Jerry, he does have the finger on the pulse a little bit, and he knows if the fans have checked out, and he's all about that cash register. So I'm not saying he's going to fire Jason Garrett. But
if Jason Garrett goes 7-9, does Jason Garrett get fired?
He needs to.
I think Jason Garrett is the Marvin Lewis of the NFC. Well, at least Marvin Lewis makes the playoffs.
I just think people just shy away from too much criticism because he's such a good guy. You know, he's, like you said, he's family.
If Tony Dungy could get fired, then Jason Garrett could get fired.
Yeah, and I could see it come to that.
That will do it for episode 112 of On Second Thought. We have to thank our guest, Rod Babers, for joining us. For the Duck, I'm Sed Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Sed and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.